love. Let it slip right in. I want the very heart of you. Sign in, sign on the dotted line. You check out, you check in. I don't mean you didn't win, cause there's many, 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 many lines to go. Yeah, there's many, many lines to go. The same, yet we beat a different drum in another rain. We were one, now we're two, and there's nothing that could change that for me and you. We sign in, sign on.
Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and I'm Sheldon Brown, and it's World Mental Health Day today, part of Mental Health Awareness Week, and Mental Health Radio. Take it from us broadcasts an inspirational story, a personal journey of drug use, drug dealing, imprisonment, and eventual turnaround to work in addiction support. Our guest is Hayley Richards, and her personal journey is testimony to the strength and benefit of her recovery and resilience. You'll just have to excuse me today a little bit. We just have a little drama on our hands, and that our producer has been held up, and we're hoping to play the CD of Hayley's interview. Now, we're about to just do that. The producer, Declan Curran, has shown up. So this interview with Hayley Richards was first broadcast 2 years ago, and as part of bringing you outstanding interviews and personal stories to mark 10 years of my hosting of Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. So here's Hayley's story. There will be some introductory music to it and another introduction which we can't avoid, but we're hoping this will be it. No, it's not playing that.
And just carried on and just hoped I'd be okay.
So that was during the time that you'd been charged, or the police had picked you up. You'd been in court initially. So from that time through to the time that you went for sentencing, you went real hard.
Yeah, that was like a year's worth of that hanging over my head, and that was probably the hardest I went. I used as much drugs as I could. I did a whole lot of things that I'd never ever done in my life before, like my morals just dropped. I did care deep down. But I just took more drugs to make it up. You know, that's how I coped, and I didn't like feeling my feelings.
Well, let's come back after a music break to talk to Hayley Richards about what brought all this to a head, and how prison, in fact, sort of was the interruption and the intervention in all of this. We're going to play a track from JJ Cale called Don't Cry, Sister.
Don't cry, sister, cry. Everything will be just fine. Don't
Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And that was JJ Cale, Don't Cry Sister, and I'm Sheldon Brown on Take It From Us, and we're talking to guest Hayley Richards about her roller coaster ride through the first part of her life, or a good part of her life, in fact. You know, those teenage years leading up to drug use, speed and pee, alcoholism, and also gambling, which really, Hayley, that was the downfall. That really sort of created this vicious cycle, I suppose, that got you into real trouble.
Yeah, I guess I, you know, at the time I felt like I had managed drugs and what I was doing for a long time. You know, I was dealing for like 12 years and I was actually, even I know it's wrong and that, but I was pretty good with my money and managed everything well. But once I started gambling, it didn't take long to take me out. Within 2 years, I was really going down, you know, and
so you had to go harder in terms of dealing to fund that. And I mean, what were the circumstances of you being visited by the constabulary?
Okay, well, I you know, you're hanging out with all sorts of different people on these drugs. And jealous people and whatever, and someone who was living with me told on me. And I'd booted her out, and I think that's part of why I got told on. So, yeah, I got told on, and then my phone got tapped for a week. There wasn't a lot on my phone, but there was enough to say that I was supplying. And so they raided my house, yeah.
So the tapping was done by the authorities?
Yeah.
Right. So what was your reaction when you were raided?
I sort of had a feeling it was going to happen. Obviously, I wasn't ready for it right then. And I didn't have a lot on me at the time, I guess is lucky for me. But, yeah, you know, it was pretty crappy. My son got ripped out of bed. They thought he was someone else. It was not a nice experience. And I, after that, you know, I, to block it, because I knew I had this stuff hanging over my head, I just kept going harder and harder, not wanting to know about it.
So there was sounds like a lot of unreality denial about the fact that there was a big prospect that you were going to go to jail.
Yeah, although I didn't think so. Half of me sort of, I think deep down knew. But I remember talking to probation and stuff, and I was not going to go guilty, and I didn't go guilty to the, you know, it took a year for me to go guilty, and because I was in, I just couldn't be bothered fighting it. Yeah, and I just, at the end, I gave in, and probation told me that it was my first offence, and that I more than likely would get home D, so I was relying on that. And it didn't happen.
But what happened was, in fact, a sentence of jail for over 2 years.
Yeah, I went to court that day, and I had my last lot of drugs that morning. And I started, it was just crazy, I started going through all my paperwork like 2 hours before court, thinking that I could sort it all, and I didn't. My family came to court with me and a couple of friends, and yeah, and bang, I got 2 years, 3 months, and 2 years concurrent, and my son kicked the door at the court. On, you know, they were all angry and upset, and I just, that was it was over.
So you ended up in prison in Rotorua. What were those first few days like?
Okay, so I went to Rotorua cells for 4 days. It was hell. I was coming off drugs. They'd stopped smoking in prison, so they took my cigarettes off me. No coffee. They treated me like crap. And, yeah, it was not a nice place to be.
So the first 4 days, I understand, you were sort of tucked under a blanket, no facilities at all, and coming down off a lengthy period of drug use.
Yep, and I was not going to let anyone see me upset. I still had that real tough attitude, and I guess that's what's helped me get through as well. It's been my survival. And, yeah, so the whole time I pretty much lay on a bed and put a blanket over my head. I remember asking them to turn off the fluorescent lights and they're like, nah. So I just hid under my blanket and was very uncomfortable and showed no feelings.
No feelings.
No feelings.
But something started to happen. I think you gained an awareness in prison and you were able to apply for parole on the basis of doing something. What was that?
Okay, yeah. Well, I wanted to get out of prison. You know, I didn't want to do my full time, and I managed to... I met somebody in prison that I spent, we were in the same cell for about 5 months, and she had done higher ground, and she was on worse charges than me, and she seemed really, really good. She'd done drug rehab, residential, and she kept pumping into me, you know, doing NA and getting myself
clean. So NA is?
Narcotics Anonymous meetings. So I read the NA book while I was in jail and just had her in my ear every day about trying to apply to go to higher ground.
So she was somebody that had been to higher ground, had done Narcotics Anonymous and the 12-step program and that sort of thing, but had unfortunately ended up back in jail.
Yeah, well, she already had her charges and did higher ground while she was waiting to get sentenced.
Right, so that was something of a lucky meeting?
Very much so. I'm very grateful for that because just having her around, I just looked at her and thought, wow, she seems really good, and if she can do it, I can do it.
Well, Higher Ground is an organisation that we've actually interviewed on Take It From Us. They're out in Te Aritu. And, it was, again, a tough introduction, a bit of a tough love introduction. You're going to Higher Ground. But it was, again, a part of a change of direction for you.
Yeah, I got to Higher Ground and the first 3 days I absolutely hated it. And I just, you know, I was tempted to just go back to jail. Jail was easier. But I thought of my children, and it's my kids that really, I couldn't do it to them again. You know, it already really hurt them. And I just had my friend in my head from prison saying to me, whatever you do, don't leave. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. You'll hate it. Just don't leave.
Wasn't as long as the prison sentence, though.
No. And, you know, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do and probably the best thing I've ever done.
So when there's pain, we often get some gain, and it's taking those risks of putting a bit of effort in, making a commitment and deliberately doing something positive.
Yeah, and just doing something different, you know, and I've learned a lot. I've got tools. I've learned how to sit, you know, I can sit with my feelings now. I don't have to take something to get rid of them. I've learned how to react differently to different situations in my life, and it's working for me.
Well, there might be a few listeners that are wondering how I managed to meet our guest, Heidi, and that was because I'd been invited to be the guest speaker at a Recovery Innovations graduation ceremony about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and that was for about 21 graduates who had completed their peer employment training. And Heidi was one of those people invited, one of the graduates invited to come up front and just tell a little bit about her story and what completing this peer employment training had meant to Heidi.
Well, I just feel really grateful to have been able to do the course because it's given me a whole different look on how to deal with other people with mental health, with people with drug addictions, and it's also given me lots of help of how I can deal with my situations. I've learnt so much from it. It's just been really, really positive for me, yeah.
So how long did you do that peer employment training?
It was a 6-week course, 2 days a week with homework.
Tons of homework.
Lots of homework that I never thought I could do.
How long has it been since you did any homework?
Years. And, you know, like I said earlier, I felt dumb. I didn't think I could study. I just didn't think I could do it. And I've learnt from doing it, you know, that I've got, there's so much support out there if you want it. And you know, I got 100% in my exam, so...
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, so that
But some of your peers, you know, they all stood up at this graduation ceremony, and some of them spoke of stories maybe not as intense as yours, but similar experiences. So how did it feel to be studying with people who had been on some pretty tough journeys?
Well... You know, everyone's got their own journey, and it's just opened my mind up to other people, you know, with mental health and how other people deal with stuff that's different from mine, you know. And you don't know what someone's going through or have been through in their life, and to watch people do the peer support and just watch people grow and sort of like a little family, you know. You share it, you share about yourself and you learn about each other.
Well, it was a little job opportunity that came over my desk or via my email, and I forwarded that on to Haiti because I just thought that it might be appropriate, and, well, there's been an outcome.
Yeah, Sheldon sent me a thing for somewhere to apply to do peer support work, and so I did, and I did sent my CV in and did a cover letter, and that's all the stuff I hate doing. And, yeah, I got a phone, an email last night to say that I've got an interview this Saturday. So, yeah, everything's working well for me.
That's great to hear, and I'm pleased that there's an opportunity that has cropped up. Well, let's take our second music break, and we've been playing a little bit of Sam B, who used to work for Like Minds at Mind and Body Consultants and also was with the Mental Health Foundation. Her track is Medicate Me Into Madness.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And this is Sheldon Brown, host of Mental Health Radio, where it's a bit seat of the pants here in the studio today. Unfortunately, we missed the first part of the interview with Heidi Richards, a really an inspirational story, a personal journey, and you will have heard of drug use, drug dealing, her imprisonment, and an eventual turnaround to work in addiction support. And that's the part of the story that we hope to bring to you. Our guest is Heidi Richards, and her personal journey is testimony to the strength and benefit of her recovery and resilience. Now, this interview was first broadcast 2 years ago and is part of bringing you outstanding interviews and personal stories to mark 10 years of my hosting of Mental Health Radio, Take It From Us. So we hope to bring the second part of Heidi's story to you right now. It looks as though we're having some difficulty in just getting that. It is Mental Health Awareness Week, and the Mental Health Foundation has reported a record number of people, organisations and workplaces have signed up for Mental Health Awareness Week. It runs right through from Monday, yesterday, through to the 15th of October. And today, later today, at the AUT Akaranga campus, they are celebrating and marking a World Mental Health Day. There will be a number of speakers at the Akaranga campus there. That kicks off with an afternoon tea around about 3:30. I think you were supposed to register. But we'll go back to this interview with Heidi Richards, a personal journey and a testimony to the strength and benefit of her recovery and resilience. Wellness Recovery Action Plan, and having you have a red book where you can write in your things like those things that trigger you, the anxiety that you talked a little bit about before the radio show. What have you got in your wellness recovery book about managing anxiety?
Well, I have a lot of things, you know. I have a lot of tools now, and doing that recovery plan has been really good because it's there all the time and you can always add to it. And I guess going through it with other people, you get other ideas from all the people you're doing it with, you know. And I've learnt, you know, doing breathing, and I find just talking to people, reaching out to people has helped me a lot. And a lot of self-talk. I turn my critic round into positive self-talk, which really helps me.
Yeah, well, I've introduced a little paper in our wellness course called Turning Down the Negative Self-Talk. And we're all a little bit guilty of talking negatively, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had a massive self-critic, you know, telling me I was useless and that I was no good and I'm not as good as them and I just can't do stuff. And, you know, it's taken time, but I've learnt to turn that around, and it definitely works for me.
Well, you've admitted that you talked to yourself in those early years, even before you became a teenager, of feeling dumb. School made you feel dumb. And I guess when we say to ourselves, well, I'm dumb, it's not really going to help our ego or our confidence or maybe even our intelligence.
Yeah, and that's how I thought of myself, you know, and I think of myself a lot differently now, and I guess with all the tools I've learned and what I've been doing, I do things differently now and I face stuff and I take challenges on no matter how scary they are, and the more I'm doing that, the more confident I'm becoming and the more opportunities I've been getting.
So that applies to coming on Take It From Us.
Yes, everything.
Right. I mean, what are some of the positive things that you say to yourself now?
Well, I tell myself that I'm doing well and that I don't need to use anymore, which is, you know, one of the biggest things for me. And that just for today, I'm okay. And I'm proving to myself every day that I'm doing well. So, and just having challenges and doing them, feel the fear and do it anyway, I guess. And it's definitely working.
Yeah, well, Heidi and I wandered across from the radio station here across just to have a cup of tea, and we both sort of shared about mindfulness and living in the moment, because there's been a few stressful things associated with the radio show, and I guess I needed a little bit of a G-up in terms of being mindful and just living in the moment, and so it was helpful for me as well. The people that you did the rap course with, were they the same people that went on to do your peer employment training?
Yeah, I did it with four other people who are people that I've done higher ground with as well, so we're pretty close, like a little family, I guess, and so it was good to have other people to do it with that I knew. Yeah.
So one of the benefits of being involved in doing these training workshops and is not only that you develop a skill, you graduate, but you meet like-minded people that you can stay in touch with.
Yeah, and it's you know, it reminds you that there's other people out there that are going through similar stuff. You're not the only one, and I know now that whatever I face now, I don't have to do by myself.
Well, so many people on this radio show as guests have definitely said that about realising that there are other people out there, lots of other people that are having to confront some of these challenges. I mean, you're currently supported. You're living in a residential home. Who runs that?
I'm staying at a Wings Trust house, and so I went from higher ground to Wings Trust. I had a choice, you know, I could have gone back to my hometown, and I just knew that if I went back there, the only people I know pretty much are either drug dealers or, you know, in that scene, it wouldn't have taken long, and I think I would have gone off the rails again. So I'm really grateful to Wings. They've, you know, I've done groups for mornings and stuff, and I've had to do meetings, NA and AA, but it's really, really helped me. And I have a counsellor there who I can see, you know, if I need someone to talk to, and they've just been a real massive support to me, and I'm very, very grateful.
So we hope that also there's some people from Wings Trust, and, you know, if you haven't listened to Take It From Us before, welcome to Take It From Us. We hope that you might become regular listeners to our mental health show. Yeah, so this is a house. How many are living in the house?
There's six of us living there. We pretty much can do whatever we want. We have to work after a certain amount of time of being there. So we either get a job or do voluntary work or training. And it's basically just the next step of getting out into the real world again. You know, it's cheap living. And as long as we don't use and abide by a few of the rules, we have to do one group a week. You know, we're allowed to stay there for up to a year, and it just helps. You can either save money, get you back into work, it just gets you breaking into getting out into the real world again.
Well, you've not only picked up one job, but in fact two jobs, and you've got this prospect of perhaps doing some peer employment if you're successful with your interview on Saturday. So it sounds like you're notching up a fair number of successes.
Yeah, and I feel very lucky. You know, I don't know if it's luck, but I know I've put the work in, and I guess doing all the right things and facing the challenges. You know, people say the world is your oyster. Well, it really is. If, you know, it's choices, and I guess I'm making smarter choices than I used to.
Well, I think if we're not out there doing at least something, then we're not going to either trip over opportunities or be able to identify opportunities. And it was through getting involved in creativity and some bone carving that used to be a school that Framework operated that I met the then CEO of Framework, and I said, well, what are you doing in terms of marketing and promotion? And that person and said, well, it's top of mind at Framework, but we're not doing a great deal. And I said, well, maybe I could help out. So that's the very reason why I am working for Framework. If I hadn't have been doing bone carving, if I hadn't have taken a bit of a risk and spoken to this person and put myself out there, well, maybe I'd be still making jewellery. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, stepping outside the square, you know, it's all new to me. It's a whole new life to me, doing things different, giving things a go, knowing that, you know, I think learning all the time is good. I feel like I have a purpose now. And also, you know, my kids, they just see the change and I know that they're proud of me.
I was going to say, I bet they are proud of you.
Yeah, and like I've got a beautiful granddaughter and, you know, it's nice to be able to say I've been clean since she's been born.
Well, I'm sure Haiti is the youngest grandmother that we've had in the Take It From Us studio. how long have you actually been clean for now?
Just about 26 months. Yeah.
26 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I thought it was 26 weeks, so sorry, it's 26 months. I was going to say half a year, but no, that's 26 months. I'm not good at maths. That's two and a bit years.
Yeah.
Two and a bit years. Okay, well, let's go to our third track on Take It From Us, and we've been playing, you know, JJ Cale, Same RB, and we're going to finish off with Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven.
Be strong and
thanks to the Like Minds, Like Mind campaign and framework.
And I was mentioning it's Sheldon Brown here, the host of Mental Health Radio. Tis seat of the pants here. We're trying to combine CDs with live broadcast in the studio, and it's a little bit exacting. But yes, it's Mental Health Awareness Week from yesterday through to the 15th of October, and the theme is Nature is the Key. And the Chief Executive of the Mental Health Foundation, Sean Robinson, says that the Mental Health Foundation is encouraging Kiwis from all walks of life to stop thinking of nature as something locked away in national parks and forests, but as the daisies on the street berm, the tree outside the window, and the vast, beautiful sky above. He says spending time in nature helps to grow, support, and nurture our mental health and well-being. He's quoted here as saying, "When I go for a jog or a surf, it helps to restore me when I feel run down, and it helps to keep stress at bay." For some people, connecting with nature means taking time to look out the window or keeping a photo of a special place on your desk. There are lots of meaningful ways each of us can unlock our well-being. That's a wonderful phrase there, unlock our well-being. And I think it's fair to say that in our interview with Heidi Richards, I think that that's something that is a great achievement of Heidi's, that she has unlocked her well-being again. So there's also the opportunity to place a focus on workplace well-being during Mental Health Awareness Week. And it says here to get Kiwis thinking about how easy it is to schedule in some quality time with nature. Mental Health Foundation is holding its National Mental Health Awareness Week lockout, and that's actually today, Tuesday the 10th of October. Kiwis will head outside and discover how happiness and well-being blooms when we start to connect with the green and blue spaces that surround us every day. So it says busy, stressful workplaces can lead to reduced productivity, absenteeism, and high turnover. So the Mental Health Awareness Week lockout is a great way to plant the seed with your staff that their health and well-being matters. And I can't see why we have to just restrict that to World Mental Health Day. I think we could have a little bit more of that, taking a bit of time off in the middle of the day to enjoy a bit of nature. So another thing to look out for on during Mental Health Awareness Week is the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. This is being organised by Changing Minds, and it is to encourage businesses to raise awareness and open up conversations around mental health by throwing a Mad Hatter's Tea Party. You can learn more on the Changing Minds website at changingminds.org.nz to consider having your own Mad Hatter's Tea Party and Mental Health Awareness Week, which runs through until the 15th. Well, let's take a music break, and I'll hand over to Declan, who's got a track which is very relevant to the focus of the interview with Heidi Richards, which you heard earlier in the broadcast.
Yes, actually, Heidi mentioned something in there about the world's your oyster. And this song that I'm going to play you is by a lady by the name of Sia. It's called Never Give Up. It's on the charts at the moment. And she's got a very interesting and difficult background. She started in the music industry in the mid-90s. And in 95, she went to move from Australia to England to follow her boyfriend. In transit, she heard that he'd been killed in a car accident, but she still continued on to live there. In 2005, she moved to New York. And by the release of her album We Are Born in 2010, she was a mess. She said she was addicted to painkillers and alcohol, and she was suffering from panic attacks from an incessant cycle of having to promote her music. She contemplated suicide but was stopped by a friend. She began a 12-step program and focused on writing songs for other artists, and she's gone on to have a successful career. Now, in the chorus here, you'll notice in the lyrics, she's singing I'll Find My Way Home, oh, oh, oh. So here's Sia with that song once I get my act together, and see what you think.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM. You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And it's no coincidence that we've chosen that track, Never Give Up, by Sierra. It's got some lovely sentiments and lovely challenges in it, and I think it really sort of reinforces some of the messages from our guest today, Heidi Richards, in the replay of her interview 2 years ago. Sierra says in that song, and some of the lyrics are a little bit hard to pick up, but she says, I've battled demons that won't let me sleep, called to the sea, but she abandoned me. But I won't never give up, no, never give up, no, 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 I won't never give up, no, never give up. I won't let you get me down, I'll keep getting up when I hit the ground. Oh, never give up, no, never give up, I'll find my way home, I'll find my way home. Oh, yeah, I'm haunted by the distant past, called to the skies, but she overcast, but I won't never give up. So I think that's a lovely sort of sentiment that we could all remind ourselves when we get into that dark hole. Now, I've mentioned that it is Mental Health Awareness Week, and I think it's relevant, too, to raise the whole issue of whether stigma is still alive and well in our community. And this is something that Kyle MacDonald, a psychotherapist who writes regularly in the Herald, raised last month. He says, do we still have a problem with stigma towards those with mental illness in New Zealand? And the article reads, I wonder what most of you think of now when I say mental health or depression, maybe anxiety. We've done a great job at making knowledge about the most common mental health struggles more public and more okay to talk about. But he asks, what about the more severe problems? What do people understand about psychosis, bipolar disorder, chronic and complex post-traumatic stress disorder, personality disorders or severe addictions? And we were talking earlier to Heidi about severe addiction. He's Kyle MacDonald, the psychotherapist, says odds are you don't hear or see much about people with these problems in the media or even in your day-to-day life. Schizophrenia, for instance, is still a very misunderstood and somewhat controversial diagnosis, and one that still provokes a lot of fear and ignorance. Despite what some still think, it doesn't mean people have more than one personality. I'll just read that again. Despite what some still think, it doesn't mean people have more than one personality. The word literally means a split mind and refers to a collection of symptoms defined by visual and auditory hallucinations, odd ideas and beliefs, distorted or false perceptions, and a struggle to function in the world. It's also true that with the right medication and support, people suffering schizophrenia can lead a satisfying life. And while people with a disorder may act in ways that can seem odd or even scary, the facts are that people with any severe mental health disorder are less likely than the rest of the population to commit any violent crime. In fact, they are at greater risk of being the victim of assaults and violence, as well as being homeless, unemployed, or in unstable living situations. Some people have misunderstood the push for a review and appropriate funding of mental health services to mean a return to asylums and more coercive care. Kyle MacDonald says that is absolutely not true. Sadly, in my recent experience, he says, those who are chronically struggling with these kinds of issues can now more frequently end up, due to less support services being available, under the care of Work and Income. And this is where the stigma bites hard. We are so quick to judge those who fall to the bottom of our society's ladder, so quick to blame the homeless, the chronically mentally ill, the struggling single parent. We are so quick to demand responsibility from those who are below the poverty line. We look at those with less and ask, what's wrong with you? We should be asking, what happened to you? The recent focus on getting people back to work as being the measure of people's worth fuels stigma. The stigma that if, for reasons of mental health, you are unable to work or function in society in a productive manner, then you are worth less. You are written off. And this stigma is driven by dogma and by current policy. Social investment sounds like a good idea, but it also implies we invest in people because we expect a return. The more old-fashioned term, he says, of social welfare says something different. We want people's welfare to be taken care of, not because it's a good investment, but because some people need looking after. Whether it's because of chronic physical disability, illness, or long-term serious mental health issues, what seems increasingly hard to accept is that some of our fellow humans do not need state support, whether it's for a short time or for the rest of their life. And to treat people as good or bad investments is as stigmatising as calling them crazy. So it looks from Kyle's point of view, and Kyle has been a guest on Take It From Us. He's also involved with the Nutters Club on, I think it's ZB, on late on a Sunday night. So his view is that stigma, particularly associated with those severe mental health diagnoses, is still very much alive and well. Well, can we take another music break, Declan?
Oh, we sure can. I've got a real good one actually to go out with. It's called Stand By You. Stand By You by Richard Platten. And it's about her promising to be there for a loved one through the good and the bad. And it served as an opening track on her Wildfire album. And she said she loves the first line of the song, which is, "Hands, put your empty hands in mine." And she said she thinks that's at the core of who she is as an artist. She said, "Put your empty hands in mine. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me show you and empower you and help you find your own voice and help you find your inner strength." She said it felt like the perfect words to start the album with. What I particularly like too is she sings some lyrics that say, "Even if we can't find heaven, I'll walk through hell with you. Love, you're not alone, because I'm going to stand by you." Here's Richard Platten, Stand By You. Thanks for being with us. We'll take you out on the song.